Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be, and welcome to Enhance Your Doors Experience. Thank you for joining today's webinar. Your speaker today will be Clara Vincent Chizmaru, Product Manager, and I'm proud to say a colleague of mine at Siemens PLM. Before we begin, I would have one note. You are encouraged, dare I say requested, to ask questions in Q&A while Clara is speaking. It won't disturb her, trust me. But when possible, we will answer your questions during the Q&A segment at the conclusion of this webinar, which is when you'll hear my voice again. If we are unable to answer your question during the webinar, we will be in touch with you via email after the conclusion. That said, let's begin. I present to you Clara.
Thank you, Gerard. Hello, everybody. The world is changing rapidly. We are on the brink of the fourth industrial revolution, and the speed of progress is unprecedented. Comparing to the other industrial revolutions, the speed is exponential. And consequently, we are living a hectic life. I don't know how you feel, but this is how I feel. And all the time I'm thinking that I have this feeling that I'm always running a continuous thing, and there's no time to rest. So the question comes, how can we succeed in this time? One of the products that I manage here in Polarion and Siemens is the doors integration. And in this webinar, I would like to share with you 10 things that I believe are important for your tools to have in order to succeed in the current environment. Now, before I enter into the details, I would like to take a few minutes to explore the problem. I met Chris a few days ago, and without him realizing it, he offered me the best introduction story for this webinar, and I would like to share it with you. Picture Chris. He's an Englishman, full of life, and he's hilarious. He always likes to make jokes. He also looks very stylish because he's always wearing this scarf around his neck. But despite the appearance, I found out that actually this scarf has a medical reason. 2 years ago, while he was driving on a highway, another car crashed with high speed into his car. Now imagine that you're attached to the chair with a seatbelt, but your head is just attached to the neck to a tiny vertebra, so it's mobile. When you get this impact, especially so high, your head is moving with such a force that actually what happens is that you get this what is called a whiplash. So his muscles and ligaments were torn. He had incredible pain for a long time. Well, he went to the doctors and they put into a lot of tests, but they were unable to find the exact cause of the pain, so they couldn't cure him. So he suffered for quite a long time. And looking back, he says that he thinks it's true. It's normal that they couldn't find the solution, the cause, because he says, you know what? The diagnosis tools that they use were invented before the seat belts were invented. So they didn't know at the time that they can expect this kind of injury. Well, luckily for him, the story has a happy ending because he managed to find somebody that was able to cure him, but he needs to wear a scarf during the winters to keep his neck warm to prevent the pain. Now, listening to Chris took me back a few months ago when I was at the PLM Europe in Berlin, Siemens PLM Europe, and one of the presenters started his presentation with the following statement. We hire young people and we give them tools that were invented before they were born. Now, realizing the truth and the irony of the situation, I couldn't stop laughing for quite a long time. And so laughed the other 1,000 people in the room. But you know, one thing is to listen to this, and another thing is to actually living it. And then it's the moment when you realize that, it's not funny any longer. And strikingly, the message is the same as of my friend's story of Chris. Now, okay, the next button, I'm trying to make it work, finally. Our world has changed. So we see around mobility, we are using multiple devices, we work with distributed teams, there's a lot of social media, we see Internet of Things coming, 3D printing, big data is used a lot. This is just to name a few of the new technologies. Also, the access to knowledge is potentially unlimited. The processing power is huge. The storage capacity of our devices is huge comparing to just a few years ago. So the speed of these breakthroughs has no historical precedence. They are disrupting every industry in every country. And this is changing everything. It's the way we live, the way we work, and the way we manage our work. The disruption also comes from the agile mindset. So that will make our competitors, or those companies that are so innovative in thinking, that will be able to innovate fast and adapt to the changes while meeting compliance and without sacrificing the quality. In fact, I think thanks to this innovation, the quality even increases. So I pose the question to you after showing you the problem. What do you think is the solution? Well, I think the solution is that it's time to move on. It's time to look for another solution, for other tools that will help you cope with these modern challenges. Now, among many capabilities of a modern tool, I have chosen for this webinar 10 that I consider essential, and I plan to talk about today. Data, your tool should allow you to work with them as easy as you use Word. It needs to have workflows to help you with the process governance. You need to be able to collaborate with the distributed teams. It needs to help you manage and implement and manage your modern lifecycle management. It needs to have a good version control to make good reuse of artifacts and variants. You need to have forensic traceability to predict the release. Cloud is also important, and also to be able to integrate the tool with other tools and be able to extend it so that you can improve its capabilities. So let's look into these 10 key capabilities of a modern tool. The first one, I have chosen as easy to use as Word, because everybody uses Word and Excel or other type of editing documents. And I think this is the result of the fact that we use the natural language, right, when we communicate to each other. We don't use the computer language. And writing documents on the computer became part of our, I can call it a digital DNA, because I think everybody knows how to use Word. I started my career a long time ago as a C and C++ programmer, and I remember that time, you know, I was young and stupid, and together with my fellow developers, we were thinking that we are smarter than any other people, and especially those marketing people, because we knew how to program. And we were very proud, of course, and a bit elitist, and I told you, stupid. I was even more proud because at that time people thought that a girl that knows how to dress and talk cannot work as a developer. She has to be a marketing girl. So I had the satisfaction to tell them that they are wrong. When I actually, later on, when I decided to switch sides, right? Switch sides, I put it in the, like make it seem ironically, to product management, which in the company was seen as the marketing job. My fellow developers told me, okay, so you are changing Visual Studio with Word. I was a bit hurt at that time, and it proved to be so true, because the Word was the standard for defining the work to be done. We were using indeed task managers at the time, so the ALM tools were not that developed. So we were tracking the work to be done with these task managers. Of course, these tools became more and more sophisticated during the years. But I noticed that all of them had the same problem. They all used rich text editors, and they were unable to copy-paste the data that I worked so much and to format it so beautifully in Word. And I am a very structured person, so I like to write things in a clear way. And it's the same way I was writing my code. So I used a lot of bulleted lists, numbers, tables. It was a nightmare to copy-paste them in these tools. And I was wasting so much time to convert these documents into requirements that it was so frustrated. And that's why I think that it's very important for these tools to be able to give you the same easy as Word experience. And I think it's not enough just to look like a document, but actually when you edited it to not offer you this experience. Because, you know, so one thing is to start to edit it the way you are used to. But then the second thing is you have to remember that this still needs to be a tool for managing the requirements or for managing your artifacts. So this document, it should be easy to mark the content inside. For example, a paragraph or a bullet list or any other content, and indicate that this is a requirement or maybe a test case or a task or any other artifact that you need. And this artifact should be uniquely identifiable, customizable, have their own properties, be traceable, and controlled by processes. It should also be easy to switch from the document mode into the detailed view of each work item or into a table view, because developers work easier with individual artifacts that helps them focus. But at the same time, we need to give to the managers, to those that work day by day on defining this work to be done, we need to give them the big picture so that they can easily keep track of it. Now, the second point, the second characteristic on my list today is about workflows. You are using a tool. You have this, imagine you have this amazing Word experience. But now, this is not enough. You have some processes in a company, and you have to follow them. But you know, my message is that you should not expect the tool to do all the job for you, so to actually replace this process, because many times it happens, oh, okay, we put our task into the system, and now it just works by itself. No, you need to follow the processes, but actually I think that this tool needs to help you to drive the people through the process. Processes, I think, are very important because they help you do what is requested, and they also help you do the thing right. But they tend usually, you know, when you talk about processes, people think about bureaucracy, so they tend to become bureaucratic. And if you do this as a manual work, it takes time, and it's also prone to errors. And I think that when the processes start to slow you down, they actually lose their real value of helping you to work more efficiently. And I think the solution is to have these workflows embedded into the tools. So this has to be done easily for the administrator so that they can easily work with modify the workflows and define new ones, ideally with a graphical user interface. It also has to be flexible. It has to allow you to define easily complex conditions and actions. And this workflow engine needs to be defined not only at the work item level, but because we talked about documents earlier, it also needs to be able to work at the document level. Now, the next point is about collaboration of distributed teams. In the past, imagine we used to go to the office. Everybody was working in the same place. We all had the same work hours. We all had this working on the same toward the same goal. But now things have changed. With the globalization, we start to have offices in different countries. We start to have colleagues from different countries. So it's not only that they are in a different place, but many times they work at different hours. Also, even if you work in the same city, because of the mobility, we are able to work remotely, right? We are able to work from home, or we are able to work when we are on the way, you know, maybe we're on a business trip, or maybe we're even waiting in the waiting room at the doctor. We can even have different goals and motivations. So we need to communicate in order to do the job efficiently. So, what is the tool that we frequently turn to? What do you think is this tool that is mostly used today? Oh, yes. The emails. I love the emails. And I wonder if you recognize yourself in this picture. And I intentionally put here this picture that the inbox emails are just not feeding into the screen, because this is the feeling that I have, because they never end. No matter what I do, they never end. And, you know, I read a lot of books to find a way to be more productive and to solve this problem. You know, that zero inbox goal? I remember one book even sounded promising because it was called How to Become a Productivity Ninja. It had really good advice, so definitely you need to learn how to be more productive, how to manage time, how to manage your emails, absolutely. But I think about the half of the book I got really angry and I stopped reading it because I realized one thing. I can become the most productive person in the world. I can become a robot, right, to do everything fast. But you know what will happen with the work? The more productive you are, the more work you receive, and the faster these emails will come into your inbox. So it's a never-ending story. Of course, I think that many times it's faster to just take the phone and call somebody and solve the problem. But it's not always possible. And definitely my message here is that the email communication is not an efficient way. It creates a long list of unmanaged tasks. It doesn't track what you communicate, so it's very easy to forget what you talk about. It is slow. So you need better tools. You need tools that allow you to have transparent and real-time communication. So I will walk you through a series of screenshots. You need threaded discussions. Wiki pooling, for example. You need to be able to send alerts to the people. Individual dashboards where people can see their tasks. You need to be able to keep track of how decisions were made with a fully automatic collaboration. You need to be able to watch the history, right, to see what happened in case you need to present it to the audit. What are the tools in real time you can use? Well, because you work on these documents and because these documents are online, people can edit them at the same time, right? So you need a way to merge these changes, right? In a way that doesn't create conflicts. Also, because, you know, if people are like to use words, it's fine. You give them the tool that gives them the same experience. But at the same time, they will still feel the need to work offline. They will still feel the need to export what you write here in Word or import it. So it's very important if you can do what we call round trip. So you have a document defined, then you export it in Word. People can modify it there, and then they can import it back, and they can import the changes back. And all these changes are merged. What else do you need? Well, you write requirements, right? But before they can be executed, they need to be approved. And many times you need to ask a lot of people for approval. Now, instead of going into very long and boring meetings, you can actually use an approval center that is online, where you can indicate exactly what are the items to be approved. It's sent to the people. It's also part of the workflow, which means you cannot move to the next step until you get the approval that you need. And people have the chance to review it, you know, at their own pace, and send comments to it, and then they can see the comments of each other, and the approval can definitely be faster. At the same time, you need to be able to sign these documents, right? Because you need a formal approval. And the same, if this is done in the tool, you don't need them to print all these documents and have somebody to sign it with the pen. I'm also talking about things like that ensure you extreme visibility, like, for example, product backlogs, sprint backlogs, release plans, Kanban boards, burndown charts. So you see, there are lots of tools that allow you to collaborate in real time. And you don't need to rely on emails to manage your work. The next characteristic is quite big and quite important. I wanted to combine here many things, and I call it modern life cycle management. Why do I call it this way? I was talking about the disruption, right, and about the way it changes everything. And this changes also the way we work and the way we manage the life cycle. And I also think the life cycle itself, like the component in the life cycle and the way, the time when they are executed, all this is changing too. And this is fine because change is part of every process, right? And we can also expect that new methodologies appear. And we need to be adaptable. And we need our tools to be highly flexible so that they can adapt to all these changes and to help us manage all these complexities. Now, if you look in the market, like traditionally, tools are focused usually on one or a few parts of the life cycle. Either on requirement management itself, either on the execution part, or maybe on the testing. And I really believe that a good tool will allow you to cover the whole life cycle in one place. Now, you need to be able to work more efficiently in each part of the life cycle. So for this webinar, it is not my goal to enter into the details of each methodology or of each step in the life cycle, but I would like to simplify it a bit. And if you think about it, no matter the methodologies, all of them include at some point in a way or another requirement management, a test management, a planning, a change control, and building the software. So when it comes to requirement management, how do you think you can manage them better without having to go back to the good old Excel and Word? So we already talked that first you need to manage them in easiest Word documents, where each requirement can be easily identified as a work item. These documents are controlled by workflows. You have real-time communication, right? Approval center, electronic signatures. Yeah, we already talked about it. At the same time, I also think that you should be able to output this documentation in very good quality. You should be able to export full specifications in Word or PDF, depends on how people need to see them, like especially for those that do not work with our tool or do not need to see the tool. You should also be able to work with standard exchange formats, for example, like RecIF out of the box, because these are standards that they are used by other companies. For example, if you work in a relationship provider-supplier, then you really need a common way, right, to exchange these requirements. Another thing important, you know, these days people use visuals, right, because the picture says more than 1,000 words. So being able to easily integrate diagrams directly in your tool and create them directly there on the web, I find it very useful. Also, risk assessment is very, very useful. If you have some pre-configured templates that they can help you, it will save you a lot of time and a lot of headache. Now, moving on to test management. I really believe that it's as important as managing requirements, because when you can specify, manage, and execute test cases on a single platform, it is easier for everybody. Of course, I go back to this document format that I think it's better to use even for test specifications. So, of course, it's important to make them as easy as Word. But at the same time, it is important to be able to plan and execute these testing procedures. What should be executed, when it should be, in what environment. You should be able to execute them online or offline, manually and automatically, or integrate them with the popular test automatic tools. More than this, if you are able to link requirements with the test specifications and with the test cases, you are able to show how these requirements are verified. And even more, you know, because it's not enough to verify the requirements, after you implement them, you should also validate them, right, to see whether you did what was requested. And actually, if you are able to manage the test results, then these test results will be a proof that the test cases not only exist, but also were executed. Moving on into planning. This planning needs to help not only analysts and developers, but also managers. I remember many times, like when, and actually we have also a lot of customers that are planning, still planning in Excel. You know, they put a list of tasks there, and they assign some priorities, and then they use Excel to sort things around. It can be quite painful. If your tool gives you the possibility to plan, first of all, following a methodology that you use, so adapting to your methodology, because in a different way you plan in Waterfall, in another way you plan in Agile, for example. It should be also easy to prioritize this. You know, if you can just drag and drop items or assign them priorities that are not only numbers, high, medium, low, or 1, 2, 3, or you can assign floating numbers, for example, because it can happen that now you thought that after you finished your priorities, you realize that you have something else that needs to do to go in between other two items, and now you don't have numbers left, right? So if you use a floating number, then you can go between any other priorities. Then it also can happen, you know, sometimes or many times you prioritize based on multiple criteria. And imagine if you can include all these criteria in the tool and get this priority automatically calculated. Mm-hmm. It is the work of the people. Also, it helps So it's not only about prioritizing, but it's also about being able to review the detailed team plan across the project in a visual way. Now, requirements, testing, planning. What is next? Of course, change. Changes happen, right? They are part of life. They are normal. And when this happens, you need to be able to assess the impact of a change. When the project is simple, let's say that it's a little bit more simple to identify what is the impact. But imagine that you have a very complex project. Let's take, for example, 20 million lines of code. This, for those that are not developers, this number might not say much. So think about 50,000 requirements. So in order to assess the impact correctly, it must be possible to navigate through all the documentation easily. So this helps a lot when requirements are traceable. And it helps a lot when you are able to navigate from a line of code to a requirement, and from the requirement to the design documentation, for example. As you can see, it is a very, very big difference if you can review the impact of a possible change in one place only, right? From this one place, if you can access all the available resources, they can be, you know, not only text, but you can have a preview of a UML component model or maybe a Simulink system model, right? So if they are part of the component specification document, it's much easier than if you have to go to each of these tools separately to find out what you need, right? So these are very, very tiny details, but they make such a big difference, right, in order to be able or not to assess the impact of a change request, right? And when I talk about change, I'm not talking about things that I change my mind, or I don't know, the customer changed their mind and now I want to do it differently. Even when you add a new functionality, you know, adding a new functionality is done on top of the existing functionality. So in general, you need to be able to assess the impact of this new feature to the existing one. The last point that I want to discuss in this chapter with the life cycle is about a little bit about the build automation. I think that, you know, you really need real-time communication between analysts, between engineers, quality assurance members, and DevOps teams. You know, in order to do this, you need to be able to easily define your build automation and your continuous integration process, if you are using them, into your tool. You know, you should be able to execute your manual and automatic tests. You should be able to track this, the automatic test, as any other testing procedures, right? And if you find an issue, so if these tests find an issue, you should be able to share any of them instantly with all the team members and have this issue recorded into the system. Okay, so now it's time to move on to another key characteristic, and I would like to talk a bit about version control. You know that artifacts describe usually the work to be done for a specific version. Sometimes it can happen that these artifacts are complex and they can span over multiple versions. And I think that's why it is very important for the tool to be able to have a good version control system. Now, I told you that I come from, my background is software, right? And in software, we've been managing the versioning of the source code for quite a long time. I mean, even before, I remember in my company a long time ago, we were using we didn't even have tools for managing the tasks like real ones, but for source code, they were already mature products that we were using. And we believe that the versioning of the artifacts are best managed when they follow the same best practices of the source code version management. So, for example, you, depending on the situation, you might need to use different branches, you know. Like, imagine branch for those that are not that technical, you know, imagine a tree. So at the beginning, the tree grows straight, so it's one line, right, one thing, one body. And then in time, it splits into different branches, and then it splits more into different branches. So it's the same, think about it on documents, for example. You have a first version of specification, then you need to modify some requirement, then you need to modify another requirement, and so with each modification, you open different, you create a new branch, right? You always need to focus on one branch, so the main one, the main version, the current one that you work now. But in case some of these changes need to, at some point, to be ported back to older version, then you will need to keep these different branches separately. Another thing that is part of version control is to be able to define baselines. These baselines for the versions that you think that matter. You know, it's important to keep a history for every modification. Who did it, what it was done, when something was done. And going even a bit farther, why not being able to, let's imagine that we are able to travel back in time, right? We have now a time machine, so we are able to travel back in time to see what was the state of the system at one point. So I'm not going back in the history of just one artifact and see, okay, yesterday my requirement was this way. But I can also see that my requirement was linked to this test case, and this test case was looking this way at the same time, and this was the status of the execution task, and this was the status of the project, and so on and so on, right? Even more, I can search, it's even better when I can search for the data that I need, for the historical data, right? Because normally I would get just the latest version, right, if I search for it. But if this is well indexed, then I should be able to see how the data was at the time that I'm investigating. It may sound too optimistic, but it's definitely possible. Now, the next capabilities is about reuse and variance. I have another story now. I remembered I had a teacher in the university. I have to admit he wasn't good. I did not respect him at all because of this. But he told us once that, you know, they had some conditions that they had to meet in order to be professors in the university and in order to advance in their career. And one of them was to write as many books as possible. And he told us, you know, the first book is the most difficult because all the others are written, you know, using the information from the other books. And, yeah, I felt like he was cheating, and I was like, okay, so you are not that good. I still haven't changed my opinion about him, but that's not the point. The point is that growing up, I realized that there was some truth in what he was saying, because in real life, we need to reuse a lot of data, right? And it's not only about, you know, like I'm reusing what I wrote yesterday, but our brain functions based on our experiences, right? So you use the previous experiences to create new ones or to create new knowledge, right? So the same way we can reuse requirements that are similar in different projects or reuse them for defining the changes from one version to another. And in fact, I talked earlier about this, that even the new versions can be seen as changes built on top of previous versions, right? Because you are still using what you have now, adding new things. So you need to be able to see how these changes impact the existing functionality. Now, you can also think about these non-functional requirements. You know, you need to implement them. But they do not describe usually how the system works. You know, they can be anything from performance, scalability, to compliance requirements, like functional safety, for example. And usually these requirements need to be reused across many projects. And the platform needs to ensure that the people Don't forget about them. Of course, Rio saves a lot of time and a lot of headache, and we don't need to start from scratch every time, right? And this reusing can be achieved by duplicating documents when you need the same information, or deriving documents when you need to modify it, and linking them, of course, to the original version so that you keep the traceability, or through branching that I explained a bit earlier. Now, an important situation comes when you need to reuse information because your customers want specific customizations to the same products. And the efficient way to realize this is to develop families of related products that have common characteristics but also differences. And this actually needs a systematic reuse approach. And this is called in the industry variant management. Now, the modern solutions, that the ones that implement variant management, allow you to write so-called 150% specification that contains all the common requirements and have the variant specifications exposing the shared requirements, and documenting only what is different. Let's move on. And we have what I call the forensic traceability. Of course, this is the ability to see what change was done, who did it, and when. But it's not only about returning some links. It's also about using the data predictively. So that's why I call it forensic. You need to be able to trace from requirements to the work items that implement them down to the source code, right? Or you need the reverse traceability. Imagine you have a defect, you go to the source code, and from the source code you go to the task that implemented it, and from this you can find out the requirement, right? The general request. Traceability is the primary mechanism to ensure that the verification and validation are done, right? That they are complete and consistent. And I have here some example of traceability view. And also, if you have good traceability and templates, this tool should help you easily prove the compliance, right? Because that's what the compliance needs, to see data. Okay. Let's move on to one of my favorite topics about release predictability and in general about the report. Because this is the part that helps me immensely every day. It is also one of the capabilities that our customers appreciate in a tool. This week I went to one of our user groups in Germany, and it was a very freezing day. I was cold and hungry because there was so much traffic on the Autobahn that it didn't give us time to stop for lunch. You know, normally these conferences are very interesting, full of interactivity, so I like them. But that day wasn't exactly my day. And I entered the room a few minutes before the beginning. I grabbed some biscuit and some water, thinking how I would survive the day. When I actually saw him, he used to be our champion in a different company. And then he suddenly announced us that he left. And I thought that I would never see him again. But here he was at the user conference. So it appears that this customers of ours, he moved to a new company and he was now trying to introduce our product there. He told me that every week, they have to prepare some reports for the management. And they have people that are spending a lot of time to collect the data. Then somebody puts it in an Excel. Then they send this Excel to India where somebody makes some voodoo and then it comes back to be presented. This is a grueling task for everybody. Everybody hates it. It takes a long time. And actually, by the time you even send the data, the report becomes obsolete because something can change, right? And he wanted to show them how easy it would be if they would have some real-time reports, right, that can automatically show the status. And also coming back to the traceability, traceability, yes, and with the compliance that we talked earlier. You know, when they have the audits, then they need to show the reports. That they do the same. Everybody works hard to prove to the audit that they do the right thing. And so this process is, instead of helping them, they just create a lot of headaches. Instead of actually using a tool that can give them this report in real time, and they can just be there out of the box, they have to do nothing, right? So this is very critical. The next, this is an example of some kind of reports. The next thing on my list is cloud. And, you know, the other day my mom called me. She was very desperate because her washing machine was broken beyond repair. So, and he didn't know what to do because he's living alone. He's in a different country. You know, this is a very heavy thing. You know, just go to the shop and buy it and come back and, you know, have everything done. So he didn't know what to do. So I told her, okay, calm down. I went on the internet. I study what is the best thing to buy for her. I bought it. I arranged it to be delivered to her house. They also took the old machine from the house. Everything is good. She's happy. I'm less stressed, right? Well, then I realized, you know, how internet changed our lives, right? Because we don't only buy now. We don't only do our shopping from internet, but we are able to take informed decisions, right? Because there's a lot of data there, and we do many things on internet, right? And this also influences the tools that we use, right? For a tool to be 100% web-based, I think it's already a fundamental characteristic, right? Because this way you can access the tool anytime and anywhere and from any device. But in addition to this web-based, you need a cloud. And it's getting more spread. I know that we still have customers that are reluctant to adopt cloud because of security reasons, procedures, whatever things they have there. But cloud solutions are the future, and I really believe that it's just a matter of time until they will accept them. And because of this, the tools need to be prepared, right, to have a good cloud option so that they are able to serve the customers. Okay, and the last thing that I want to talk about today is about integration and extensibility. First of all, is that there are many tools that developers use, so it's very important for the tool to have an API that is open and that covers the whole functionality of the product. So this way you can build a lot of integrations. And it also helps when you have out-of-the-box integrations with the most used tools. I also wanted to show you fast a little bit about the RecIS import and export, because it is very, very much used today. So it's important for your tool to support it and implement the standard correctly, because we saw a lot of tools that just go around the standard. It would be good to have templates to help you with the mapping, with the configurations, right? It's about reusing the configuration on the import. You should be able to import difficult things like tables, links, all the objects, and many, many, many other useful things. Now, we reach the end of this 10 characteristics that I think that I find important. And yes, the fourth industrial revolution is bringing progress at an exponential speed. And as a consequence, in order to be successful in this world, I think it's like you run the marathon at the speed of sprints all the time. And the world is definitely changing toward this direction. And I would like to invite you to take a moment to think about the tools that we use today and if they help you with this. Because we believe that with the right tool, you can not only survive these world changes, but you can also have the chance with the products that you do to be the change in the world. Now, if you are interested to find out more, you can check our Siemens Empolarion website for details on our products. We also have a trial version there that's in the cloud, so you can play with and see how it compares with what you are using now. And, of course, feel free to contact us. You will see the details after the question and answers section. So now it's time for your question. Gerard?
Yeah, thank you very much, Clara. And let's get through some of those questions. I have a really good one here to start off with. It says, You mentioned modernizing tools a few times in your presentation. What one or two things make something open quote modern, close quote, when looking to upgrade?
Yeah. It's hard to choose one thing. If you look at the way I prioritize them, you saw that I put number one for the tools to be easy to be used as Word. So I really think that is definitely very, very important. At the same time, I think it's I have two candidates on the same space because we talk about different things. So this is it's the experience that you need to have when you are working by yourself. But also, it is very important to have all these functionalities that allow you to collaborate, to communicate in real time. Because I really believe that good communication is the key to everything that we do. So yeah, I can take the Word, right? Easy as Word. I can also be that part of the efficient communication. It's a form of efficient communication. So yes, the most important is the communication.
Excellent. Okay, so let's go on to the next question. You spoke about compliance regulation. How easy is it to update the requirements when regulations change? Can I choose who has access to do so?
I suppose you are the question refers to our Polarion ALM. You saw earlier in the presentation that I talked a lot about reuse, and I mentioned there also a lot the compliance regulations. So my purpose was to show you that it's definitely easy, very easy to update these requirements. Because, for example, if you keep track, if you have these compliance requirements in the system as non-functional requirements and they are in one place, the moment you change them, these are linked with the other requirements in the system. So the moment you change them, you can easily access the impact, right, to find out which other requirements are impacted by this. Might be different versions of the product that you already have in the market. And then once you're able to assess the changes, you can go and do the modifications that are necessary or plan them, right, for the execution. And, of course, you can choose who has access because part of our tool are also permissions. So we have permissions management. I didn't talk about it now. It is important, but there were others more important to talk about. So this permission management allows us to define clearly who has access to what part, tools, what artifacts, what documents, who has access to modify them, who has access to read them, who has access to approve different things. So yes, the answer is it's easy. And yes, you can choose who has access to this.
Okay, so we're about out of time, so let me just ask one quick question here, or hopefully it's a quick question. Do you, I assume meaning the product, integrate with and import DXL?
DXL is the scripting language that is used in DOORS, you know, to extend DOORS. So we don't need to integrate with DXL because DXL is not a component. But what we do is, you know, if DXL is used in DOORS to extend DOORS, actually, if, for example, you migrate your data to Polarion, you will find out in Polarion a lot of the functionalities that are available indoors in the Excel are now available out of the box without you having to do any work. And if you have to extend it, the API is an open API. It's definitely easier to extend it, I think, and also from the feedback that we have from the customers and with the Excel. If we have to interact with DORS and take data from DORS, then of course we have to use the Excel for this, because the only API that we have. So it wasn't such a short answer, but I hope it's satisfying. It answers the question.
Oh, I think it was great, and if not, I will follow up with the person who asked the question. And that does appear to be the end of our webinar. So a special thank you to Clara for today's presentation. And, of course, thank you to all of you for joining us to learn more about Siemens PLM software and how it is possible to enhance your DORS experience. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to reach out to us via our website or contact your Siemens sales or service representative. Again, thank you for joining us, and have a great day if you choose to.